Part 3. Death. Chapter 8. Charlie's Demons. August 2011. 6 weeks ago, I was headed south. A shouting match with Joe, my father-in-law, had led me to a hasty exit. The destination was my childhood home. After the barbecue, I had a beer. That one beer became an endless drunk. I had a long way to drive and not much to occupy my time. Memories of his hometown and his childhood began to play in Charlie's head like a movie. My fondest memories were of camping and swimming. My older brother Robert and I loved spending summers with Mom and Dad. We loved fishing on the lake. Who could ever forget that boat? The boat was huge for two small boys. Robert and I would fish, Dad would help. Our dog, Zoe, was always at our side. That dog could swim, fetch, and receive our love. In my crazy family, Zoe was a source of comfort and security. She ate, slept, and lived by my side. She was a trusted friend who never told a secret and was always happy to see me coming. Zoe was someone I could hug and hold and talk to. I was in constant interaction with her. Zoe woke with me, ate with me, and slept in my bed at night. With a dog kiss, my life was easier to take. Across that lake, you could see forever. When we were out there catching perch, it was simply one of the best things that ever happened for my brother and I. We often went to Bone Creek Lake on weekends. Mom was always busy working or spending her time with friends, drugged up or shit-faced drunk. She worked the weekends as a waitress at a downtown cafe, working the breakfast shift until 2 in the afternoon. That left my dad in charge. He, too, was drunk most of the time. He would drink a case or two every weekend. Budweiser was Dad's number one priority. Driving home from the lake was tricky with the drunk. Robert would help. My big brother Robert knew the way. We always made the drive home safe. Robert became the parent as Dad slipped away into drunkenness. The trauma of my life began pushing back in. I tried to think of happy memories. Most evenings were full of loud people, friends of my parents that came over. Mom and Dad would get high and stay up all night drinking with them. Zoe taught me how to be safe during dangerous nights. Now, at age 26, here I am driving in a downpour on a stormy night. I can hardly see the road in front of me, and the windshield is cracked. The rain is coming down in solid sheets. I am heartbroken, I am angry, I am pissed. Yeah, I kicked the car windshield out. I spidered the glass. I kicked hard enough to make the windshield split. I was told I needed to get out of town. "We don't want your kind here," the officer said. "What kind is that?" I thought maybe they thought I was on drugs. Nope, just drunk on whiskey this time. The rain started to fall. A heavy shower and booming thunder and bright flashes of lightning. This lit up the whole night sky. Emotionally vacant, I tried to call Robert. No answer. I drove on. Some son of a bitch honked at me. I yelled out loud, "Watch where you're going yourself, asshole!" I cannot believe my wife Claire texted me. "Where are you?" The message, "I am worried." That bitch, Charlie thought. Charlie said, "Emma is not Joe's daughter. Emma is my daughter, damn it." Claire's father, Joe, is always butting in. He is sober, so he thinks he is better than me. I am so mad at Claire for kicking me out. The pounding rain on the windshield once again draws me out of my thoughts. What a hard, hard rain. I lost my phone. Too bad. I'd love to put this shit on Facebook Live. No one would believe such a downpour. This highway is narrow. My headlights seem dim. Dark night drive. Pouring rain, I still have a long way to go. I can get a cheap motel room in Lewisburg. A motel came in sight. Place looked okay. I pulled in, then entered the lobby. The place smelled damp with its old dusty furniture and soiled, worn carpet. Pressing the buzzer, the dull sound brought out a sleeping man to the lobby. With a critical eye, he looked me over. The motel clerk said, "We don't want your kind here." What? Did he really just say that twice in 1 hour? I only had one beer. Drugs? Well, I don't remember taking any. I drew myself up to full height and spoke in a respectable manner. "Can I have a room?" From under the counter, the clerk pulled out a gun. Looks like he might just have some experience getting rid of my kind. "I am done. I am leaving," I assured him. I put my hands up and my palms out to show him I meant no harm. I left. I got back in my car and continued my journey north. Damn, that gun was terrifying. All thoughts of a gun were quickly forgotten as the oxycodone I had just taken started to kick in. Shit, was I ever high. I was not in the wrong. I had done this before Emma was born, and Claire knew that. She knew how much I liked to party. Before we had Emma, she used to party with me. Kids do not stop people from getting high. My entire childhood is proof of that. As I drove on, the pelting of rain on the car lulled me into memories of my childhood. My sweet Zoe, who always gave so unselfishly with her calm presence, kindness, and loyalty. I told Zoe once that I wanted to be a dog doctor. I spoke to her, believing she understood. That she wanted me to be a person people respected. I thought I was Zoe's protector and hero. The day she was killed, I found out I was only a vulnerable child. In a world of drugs, drinking, neglect, and violence, Zoe was my closest friend. A deep bond of love joined us together. That afternoon still fills me with absolute rage. The safety and security of having Zoe in my life was ended. One night, when Dad was in town from California, he had stopped by the house to see me and Robert. The visit started out fun with new toys. Then Mom and he started screaming at each other and fighting. On his way out, Dad slammed the door. Revving his engine, he squealed his tires, signaling his departure. Then came the thud, and a sickening, high-pitched yelp, followed by lots of cussing. I can remember running around the car to pick her up. My Zoe. She was crushed. My dad had run completely over the center part of her body. There was no hope. She would die right there in my arms. As I held her warm body close to mine, I heard her breathing slow. I was not her hero. She was mine. I was not her protector. She was mine. "I am so sorry," is all I could say over and over. "I am so sorry." I held her until my sobs dried up and she was cold. Mom put a mirror by her nose. "She is not breathing, son." "Where is Dad?" I asked. She said, "He left." I asked, "Will anyone help me with my dog?" Robert said he would. A loud honk brought me back, drunk alert. I kept wishing Robert would call. I am so drunk. I lost my phone. After Zoe died, things just changed. Those years were so full of anger and endless arguments. It seemed like Mom and Dad never stopped fighting. Mom was mad all the time. Dad was gone all the time. He traveled to the West Coast a lot, and then their divorce was final. He was never sober. I did not pay a lot of attention at the time. His trips away grew longer and longer until I really saw him at all. Lately, thoughts of my father seemed to be constantly on my mind. 2 months ago, police had called Mom and broke the news that my dad was dead. It must have been a drug deal gone bad or an overdose. I do not really know. Mom is so tight-lipped about his death. I wanted to fly out to California, but Mom and Claire both said no. Emma had just been born, and Claire needed my help. I could not do anything for Dad anyway. I miss him. I knew that he sold drugs. I have heard Mom talk about those days. These last few months have been so difficult. I did not feel like I had anyone to turn to. My brother, Robert, is still not answering his phone. After my tour in Afghanistan, life just sucked. Everything started to spiral downward. Actually, I have a list of my pain, grief, and shame. I wrote the list when I was in outpatient treatment at the Veterans Hospital in Wichita. That treatment worked for a while. I had stopped the opioid drugs and the drinking before Claire became pregnant with Emma. Then I lost my father, and the recurring dream of the lost child started again. To numb that pain and deal with the grief, I started with just a few drinks. To those drinks, I added opioids. That created more stress. Having a newborn in the house added to the overwhelming feeling that I had lost control of my life. Claire became increasingly angry at me, always yelling at me to help until she eventually pulled away. I felt so lost, hurt, alone, and confused. That is when my life took a real nosedive. The defining moment, one that I wish I could go back and do over, I hit Joe, my father-in-law. With Claire retreating from my life and taking Emma with her, I began to focus on the U.S. president's instructions. A soldier on a mission waiting for orders. I am a trained Army medic, and my service to this country is highly respected. I have earned medals. I started the opioids. I kept dreaming that evac. I just keep looking for that child over and over. I wake up and I just cannot find her under the soldier. That dream, that recurring dream, has no end. The president has selected me to be part of the recovery mission. I am ready to go, just waiting on the call to duty. That is why there is a problem here. If I start the opioids again, I will not be ready. I called them my whiskey days and opioid nights. Honor. A soldier is someone who, at one point in their life, wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including their life. Author unknown.